Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you as we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It is not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of denominational dogma or political ideological bent, but it's a matter of what does the Word of God say. That should be the constant refrain in the heart and the life of every child of God. We need to turn to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And God's Word gives us answers for life's issues. Regardless of what the issue may be in the realm of what is called home issues, family, societal issues, theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, are what is so often called simply political issues. But ladies and gentlemen, God created the home, He created government, He created the church, and He did so in that order. So anything that we discuss in that broad spectrum is found in the Scripture. An answer to it is found. Directions are given in the Word of God. Lest I forget it, let me remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to this broadcast, you feel free to call 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions and your comments as we have the dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what He said to His disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." But ladies and gentlemen, He defines very clearly and definitively. Jesus defines it. What is truth? And He says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17, 17. It was George Orwell of a number of years back that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." This is the reason I have so enjoyed and appreciated the comments about truth by 15th century church reformer and theologian. His name is Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And so that's my challenge to you each day as you tune into this broadcast, is that we listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, speak the truth, and even stand for truth to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo, a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, lines like Honda generators, etc. And Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable personnel that can explain how to use all of the landscape lawn care equipment that is provided for the homeowner as well as the professional landscaper. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, in just a moment, I'll have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, we're going to introduce our special guest today. Our special guest that we'll have on line today with us is Congressman Mike Hill, representative of District 1 in the state here in the state of Florida. We're looking forward to a dialogue and discussion with him for this whole broadcast today. We're going to be talking about some laws, some bills that are in Tallahassee that I believe that we, the people, need to be interested in and involved in. But, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me give you a little brief monologue introduction to where we're going today. I'm excited about today's headlines. Don't know if you read them or not. Today's headlines, the headline news out of Virginia, is proof that citizens can become involved in the legislative process and have a voice that is to be heard. Headline says the Virginia gun confiscation bill pulled as huge pro-gun crowds show up at the legislative offices. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, about 120,000 people showed up in Richmond, Virginia, to object to the gun confiscation bill they were about to pass. Let me read you just a line or two out of the three-page article about that. It's dated January the 14th, 2020, last evening late, about 6:30. It says, Democrats might wield power in Old Dominion. The gun rights backers haven't given up on their fight. As lawmakers met Monday to consider a slew of gun control bills, they were greeted by thousands of Second Amendment supporters determined to voice their opposition. One of the bills, known as Senate Bill 16, a controversial measure that would have effectively allowed authorities to confiscate weapons that violate it. In other words, violate the law. But the bill was withdrawn. It was the potential of the people power on full display, this article says. We are beyond impressed by today's turnout, the individual speaker says. Virginia State Director for the National Rifle Association and Institute of Legislative Action, D.J. Spiker, said that they were very impressed with that number. Said, you can see the passion and enthusiasm that the citizens of Virginia have in joining us in this fight. And it goes on with some wonderful information. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the Word of God, the Bible, in Romans chapter 13, the first seven verses in particular. Let me just paraphrase those verses for us, for our listeners today, that we might understand. God gave us government. God created government. And government is designed by God, based on the authority of Scripture, to protect the good and to punish the evil. Not to persecute the good and to promote the evil. But we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, across the nation in areas that you would not have heard of 20, 30 years ago, where governmental officials are promoting evil and persecuting good, persecuting the godly and the Christians and those that are good citizens, rather than protecting our individual rights. And God gave us the rights. They were codified in our Constitution, but they're God-given rights, ladies and gentlemen. Even an ACLU professor said, I don't see the Second Amendment as absolute. Just like I don't see the First Amendment as absolute. Ladies and gentlemen, even in the halls of higher learning with these academic professors, more and more of them are simply saying that we don't believe that the Bill of Rights ought to stand, and we're saying that we can just do anything we want to the citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are without the Bill of Rights, if we do not have the freedoms that's provided for us under the Bill of Rights, we have the politicians, the professionals, and the professors, and other social pundits, as I call them, that are seeking to destroy our constitutional republic. May I remind us today that without our Bill of Rights, the people simply become subjects of and under the governmental authorities. A good illustration of that is the control over the people. Heard recently out of the socialist, Marxist, communist presidential candidate Bernie Sanders' campaign. The Bernie Sanders campaign says the gulag is a good way to denazify President Trump's supporters, Bernie Sanders said. And I'll not take the time to read the article, but just basically the introduction says the Soviet-style gulags would be a good way to carry out the necessary re-education President Donald Trump supporters if Bernie Sanders becomes president, according to his field organizer for the self-declared socialist candidate. It was a startling revelation. By the way, it's as a result of an undercover video done by James O'Keefe in his Project Veritas, and he had gone under cover and had interviewed Bernie Sanders' lead person. And Bernie Sanders' lead person, I'm sure, speaking on behalf, and as Bernie Sanders would. Bernie Sanders is a socialist, Marxist, communist. You can check on any of his background and his records. And yet, if he becomes president, he says the best thing to happen to all of the Trump supporters, and there are millions and millions of us, would be to send us through the gulag and the re-educational camps. It gives a good idea of where he stands on our Bill of Rights and on our freedoms as American citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, the basic rights found in our Bill of Rights, our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms as our Second Amendment are so vital in a nation as America. But ladies and gentlemen, most of you are not aware that in the state of Florida, right now in the House and the Senate, there are about 40 different gun bills pending in the Florida House and in the Senate. Most of these gun bills would be very dangerous for our citizens in the state of Florida if they're passed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to introduce to you today our guest on Let's Face the Issues from Florida District 1, Representative Mike Hill. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me on your show.
It is a delight, my brother, to always have this microphone open and available anytime you're available, that we might have dialogue and discussion on what God has you doing in the Florida House. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask Congressman Hill to just take a minute and give a little background of himself and his passion, what he's doing in the House, why he's there. Congressman, tell our listeners, I know the story, but some of them do not. Tell them about your passion, why you are in the House and what you're wanting to accomplish and why you feel that God has placed you there.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I grew up in a military family and had the great honor of being nominated to attend the Air Force Academy, which I did and graduated in 1980. I then spent 10 years active duty in the Air Force. And then after 10 years, I started my own insurance agency with State Farm. And I've been working with the company now for almost 30 years now. This year will be 30 years I've been with the company. But I started politics in 2013, got elected to the Florida House, was reelected in 2014. In 2016, I ran for state Senate and was not successful. But in 2018, I was reelected back to the Florida House. What drives me more than anything else, Dr. Youngblood, in everything that I do, is my oath of office. My oath of office that I took says that I do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the U.S. Constitution and its government and the Florida Constitution. What has become very meaningful to me is that oath. And what I mean by that is when I took that oath, it was not merely between me and the official administering the oath, and it was not simply between me and my constituents, even though it includes all of that, all the people of Florida. That oath was between me and the living God. Amen. I was promising the Lord of hosts that I would protect and defend this Constitution. So whenever it comes under attack, because of my oath of office, I am duty-bound, I'm obligated to find anything to repeal that attack and to promote it, because I said I would support, protect, and defend that Constitution. So my oath of office is what drives me in everything that I do.
Amen. Well, I don't mind our listeners understanding and recognizing and realizing what I commend you for. God provide us more men with the same heartbeat, the same motivation, the same passion, the same zeal as I have found in you in the time that I've known you, and I am thankful for that. And I don't say that to placate you on the air today, but I say that as a genuine thank you, thank you, thank you for representing we the people in the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, I know that we have a lot that we could discuss on this broadcast today, and I want to try to synthesize it and boil it down to some of the more important issues and the bills. But would you explain, and I'm going to start with this, and it may not be the top of the list as I have studied the about 40 legislative bills about guns, but would you explain to our listeners, because Florida is one of 17 states with the so-called red flag law, I believe it's a good starting point for our listeners to understand, what is the red flag law? What does it do? What is the value of it? Does it have a constitutional value, or is it antithetical to our Constitution?
Well, the red flag law was passed shortly after the tragic Parkland shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School back in 2018. I believe 2018 is when that happened. It was a tragedy that took place, and the red flag portion of that is just a smaller part of that overall bill. There were four measures that were taken that were unconstitutional on their face. There were some good parts of that bill, such as hardening our Florida schools, providing funding for resource officers at schools, allowing teachers and administrators to be armed at schools. So it had some good things, but there were four very bad parts of that bill. Number one was the red flag law. The red flag law says that someone can petition to have your firearms removed just based on what they observe. In other words, they can say, they can go to law enforcement or to a judge and say that I believe this person is unstable, they have a gun, they're acting irrationally, and I'm afraid that they're going to hurt themselves or hurt someone else. And that judge can then give law enforcement the authority to come confiscate your weapon just based on an accusation. Without due process. So instead of it being you're innocent until proven guilty, this says you are guilty until proven innocent. And oh, by the way, you have to pay for your own lawyer to petition your weapon back and to request that you get it back, and there's no guarantee that you will. And so I know of situations right now where there was a young man who had his weapon taken away from him in December of 2017, and he has, December of 2018, and he has yet to have it returned back to him at this point. So they have taken his weapon. So that's only one bad part of that bill, and it's a very bad part, the red flag law. There's also a part that said that 18 to 20-year-olds cannot purchase a long arm in Florida. In other words, they are left defenseless, which is completely unconstitutional. The Second Amendment says the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. So here's an 18, 19-year-old young man or woman who can go in our military, serve to defend this country, but when they're at home, they cannot defend their own property and families. It doesn't even make sense. A third part of that law, which was very bad, was a three-day waiting period, so that when you go purchase a weapon, you have to wait 3 days before you can pick it up, which, again, it just infringes upon our Second Amendment. It tramples all over it. And then a final part of that bill, which was so bad, of that law, was a bump stock cannot be bought or sold in Florida. What made that so bad was the definition of the bump stock was so broad that any modification that you make to your weapon could be considered a bump stock. You put a new trigger on. And if some leftist judge wants to say, well, I think that's a bump stock, they could confiscate your weapon. It's now illegal. So those four parts were terrible that took place. So I filed legislation to repeal all four of those.
Tell us about that legislation. Is that the one that's House Bill 6003?
That's correct. House Bill 6003. I filed it last session. It didn't get a hearing, so I filed it again this session. And candidly, Dr. Youngblood, I'm not sure it will get a hearing again. But that's beside the point. I swore an oath to the living God that I would protect and defend our Constitution. That law trampled all over our Constitution, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth, the Fifth, the 14th Amendment. It trampled on all of those. So, of course, if I have any fidelity to my oath, I have to file legislation to repeal that. So I did. I did what I swore I would do. What they are going to do, their actions, I have no control over. But I'm going to do what I was sent here for, my assignment, and that was to fulfill my oath of office.
Amen.
So I'm not so sure that it'll get a hearing, but again, that was not my purpose of filing it, was just to get a hearing or to even anger leadership. It was because I'm fulfilling my oath.
Amen.
So we have 6003. We also have House Bill 6001, which I co-sponsored. Anthony Sabatini, Representative Sabatini, is the sponsor of that, and I co-sponsored that bill. And that bill is for constitutional carry, which says that you don't need government's approval. You don't need to get a license or a concealed carry weapon or whatever in order to exercise your Second Amendment rights. The Constitution says that you have that right. And so because of that, I can go purchase a weapon and not get government's approval to do it.
I read that as I read that the wording of that bill, I get excited about that because I believe that that is the only gun law that would be constitutional because it does not infringe in any fashion upon that Second Amendment. Tell us further about that bill.
Yes, what that bill allows someone to do is they can go purchase a gun, a weapon, without having to get a license, without having to get government approval. And as you say, Dr. Youngblood, that is completely constitutional because, as you know, the Second Amendment said the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, period. You shouldn't have to pay government for a license, to pay government for a concealed carry in order to purchase a weapon. Government has no authority, no right to impose that upon us, even though they have. They should not have, because they are trampling on God's law.
Yes.
God gave us a right that it existed before we were born.
Yes, that's right.
You have the right to protect yourself, your family, and your property. It's a God-given right. And so because it's a right given to us by God, and it was codified in our Constitution, government has no authority to infringe upon that in any way at all. And our founders recognized that, and that's why they said the right to bear arms shall not be infringed.
Exactly right. And as you speak, my thoughts go to what took place recently in the church in Texas. And just it was because of new laws, gun laws in the state of Texas that allowed firearms to be carried into churches that preserved perhaps dozens, if not hundreds of lives as the shooter came in with the intent of taking lives. And I commend the one that was the head of the security team there in that church that was a retired, not a retired, but he was formerly with the FBI and I believe retired sheriff's deputy and running an academy of training people how to use weapons. Speak to that issue and your thoughts. What if Texas had not changed the law that allowed that? What could have been the complications, the end result, the dangers if churches in Texas would have been considered soft targets continually?
Well, we would have had disasters like we saw at another church in Texas previously last year, where the gunman went in there and killed several people. I forgot the number, but it was just a horrific tragedy. And so because Texas did pass that law to allow guns to be carried in churches, then that tragedy was prevented. Brave man with that weapon in 6 seconds was able to take out that shooter, that deranged man who was there to wreak havoc and evil. So they were protected from that. Now, in Florida, we can also carry in a church, but there's a caveat that needs to be fixed. It says that if there is a school attached to that church, then you cannot carry in that church, which is really crazy because so many churches nowadays in Florida provide that also needed service of school choice, providing another place where parents can send their children to school instead of these public schools, and so they have these schools at their church. Now what you are saying is that those children can't be defended, that people in church on Sunday, even though that church, the school is not operating because a school is attached to it, that those people are now vulnerable. So there's actually legislation to try to fix that, to allow schools with churches, with schools attached to it, that they would be able to also conceal carry at those locations.
Speak to that issue. What House bill in the, I'm looking at a fistful of the gun bills in my hand as we speak. Which of those does the fix on that?
I'll have to admit, Dr. Youngblood, I don't know. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue right now. I would have to research that. But I know that there, I've heard of talk of that legislation being filed.
That's good. Good, good, good. Switching gears just a moment, I'm looking at one that is House Bill 117, Concealed Firearm Licensing requires applicant to have undergone mental health evaluation and determined to be competent, or provide letter from specified professional as to the competency. Are you familiar with that? And if so, speak to that issue. It sounds like it'd be super, super dangerous and a major infringement on the Second Amendment rights.
Yes, what we have seen in this session, Dr. Youngblood, is the Democrats have filed a tremendous amount of gun control, gun confiscation, gun infringement laws here in Florida. I would be glad to say that I doubt if any of them get a hearing on the House side. Many of them will not even be assigned to committees. Let me say that differently. They'll be assigned to committees, but they won't be placed on an agenda to be heard. That House Bill 117 was filed by a Democrat, Representative Jaquette, and it does say that people have to undergo a mental health evaluation and determine to be competent before they are able to purchase a weapon. That is crazy. And here's a big, huge problem with that, is that we have oftentimes our military members, and Florida has the largest veteran population in the U.S. And my particular district, District 1 and 2, has the largest veteran population in the state, the Panhandle, the Pensacola area, because of the number of military bases that are in the Panhandle. So we have these young men and women who come back from combat situations, and sometimes they will also be diagnosed with some form of PTSD. Some are mild and some are more severe. But what we are finding is that these young people are not getting the treatment that they need because they are afraid they're going to be red flagged. So it goes back to that egregious bill that was passed after the Parkland shooting. They don't want to be red flagged because then they would not be able to have a weapon to protect themselves and their family. Well, what this bill does, this House Bill 117, filed by Democrat Representative Jaquette, goes even further. So even if they don't receive treatment, but because they have been diagnosed with some form of PTSD, they would be prohibited from purchasing a weapon.
Yes.
That is insane.
Insane. Congressman Hill, we're delighted that you're with us. I'm going to ask if you would be kind enough to hang on for about 1 minute for the top of the hour news, and we'll be right back to continue our dialogue and discussion today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.